We can have just a heaviness sometimes. Is that just me? You ever just kind of have a heaviness? Listen to this word from the Lord. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Man, that rest. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So whatever we're going, maybe you're having a great day, great week, but maybe you just need rest. Whatever we need, the Lord is our provider. He is someone we can rest in. So I just pray that we would exalt Him this morning, that we would lift high the name of Jesus. You want to do that with me?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, we are grateful that You are a God of rest, that You love us, that You provide for us, You protect us, You walk with us through the storms. We pray, oh God, that You would send Your Holy Spirit into this place, that everything, that our hearts and our minds and our words would all be pleasing to You and would lift high the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Also want to welcome our live stream audience. Glad that you are with us this morning. If you would rise if you're able as we worship.
God sent His Son, and they called Him Jesus, and He came to love, heal and forgive, He bled and died, to buy my pardon, and empty grave is there to prove my sin.
This morning, church, and I hope that you are reminded all week long this week. I want you to make a dedicated effort to remember that every moment of every day that Christ is alive,
yes.
And he has won the victory, and he is watching over you.
Yes.
Just because we know we can have confidence that God and his love is always with us and will be with us in the highs and the lows of life. And we come in this morning with a God who's alive and with us. And so because his presence is here, we know there's joy in the house of the Lord.
Shout out your praise, there's joy in the house of the Lord, our God is surely
round of applause this morning as we are reminded of his presence with us. You may be seated. Children, at this time, come forward for your children's message.
Good. All right. Good to see everybody. Hey, Ryan, come on up. All right. I know. It's his birthday, right? Yeah. All right. You got it? Thank you for doing that, Isaac. All right. Well, good. I'm excited to see everybody here today. Are y'all excited to be here? Y'all had a good week? Yes. All right. Well, going to ask you a question. Do you know that there is something about you that is very important? What do you think it might be? Praying, yes. God. But there's something about you, about yourself, about each one of you that's very important. It is your name. Who has a name? Raise your hand. You don't have a name? Okay. All right. Well, we have one that doesn't have a name. Okay. I'll talk to your mom and dad about getting you a name. Okay. Yeah. We all have names. Are names important? Now, why are names important? Yes. That's right. So people will know who you're talking to. That's right. Yes, Rylan. The other person, but maybe you wanted to speak just to Hunter, right? Yeah. All right. Well, names are very important, and your parents worked really hard. They thought really long and hard to name you because your name is with you forever, right? Right? Sometimes I don't go by my first name. I go by my middle name. Sometimes we have change our name up a little bit. Instead of going by our first name, we go by our middle name, things like that. But you're still your name, right? You got a full name. You got a first, middle, and last name, right? All right. So we're going to start over here and see if we can do this morning. So I'm going to give everybody a chance to say your name. Can y'all do that for me? All right. Hang on just a minute. I'm going to go right over here. Okay. Can you say your name?
Lalanta Shane Garza. Oliver. Kaysen.
I wanna.
Okay.
Ryan. Hi, Ben.
Okay.
Hunter Brotherton.
Oh, sorry.
Hunter Brotherton.
Okay. You go.
Isaac.
Okay. All right.
Rylan.
Christian. Baby Hat.
Okay.
Reagan.
Griffin.
Grayson.
Clara.
Zaya.
Hadley.
Elliot.
Ella.
Okay. Get back here. I've got two more.
Palmer.
Price.
Get in there.
Price.
Gemini.
All right. Is there anybody else? All right. Did I get everybody? All right. So we all have names, right? All right. Does everybody know my name? You don't have a name? Does everybody know my name? You know my name? Okay. What is it? Miss Carlene. That's right. Names are very important. Because if we didn't have a name, how would people know you? Like Rylan said, we'd have to go say, hey, you. Hey, you. Do you want to be called hey, you? No. You want to be called you? So names are important. And so when you're talking to someone, you call them by their name. And when you see your friends, you don't just say, hi, friend, right? Hi, friend, right? I'm going to say, hi, Ollie. I know your name, right? Okay, so names are important. So do you know who else knows your name? God does. That's right. Do what? Yes, he did. God knows everyone's name. Not just us right here, but where? Maybe. And does he know people in maybe Africa? Does he know their name? What about in Australia? Do you think he knows their names? Yeah. So wherever you're at, God knows your name. He knows you personally. And he
is your friend. And it tells us that he knows you and he calls you by name in the Bible. It says, the man who guards the door opens it for him, and the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. Do you know who the shepherd is they're saying about? Huh? No, you're not the shepherd. Who's the shepherd? No, who's the shepherd in our Bible verse? The sheep, God, that's right. Jesus and God are our shepherds. And it says, he calls his own sheep using their name and leads them out. So Jesus is our shepherd, and he calls you and me to come follow him. Did you know that? Do you listen to God? Do you hear God speak your name sometimes? Yeah, maybe. Yes, he does speak your name. And he calls out and he says, Ryland, come follow me. And what do you need to do? You need to follow him. That's right. We need to listen when he calls out our names. Sometimes we get busy and we don't listen really well, do we? Do you always listen to your parents when they tell you to do something? No. Sometimes God asks us to do something and he might say, Reagan, I need you to do something. Would you go do it for him? For God? Yeah, you would. Yeah. So it's important that we listen and he calls us by name. He loves us so much that he knows each one of our names. Isn't that amazing that he knows us by name? I think that's incredible. I'm so thankful that God loves us that much and he knows our names. Okay, let's say a prayer. Dearly Father, I thank you that you know each one of us by name and that you love us and that you care so much about us and that you call us. And Lord, I pray that we will listen and just be obedient to you and just follow after you, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. There we go. Good to see everybody this morning. Man, what a nice, cool morning. Man, isn't that awesome? Thank you, Lord, for that. Good to have you with us this morning. If you want to register your attendance through our app, that would be awesome. If you do not have our Wiley Methodist app downloaded to your smartphone, you have to have a smartphone. Jim Reinbolt was the last living person I know that didn't have a smartphone. Now he's, right, Jim? Jumped on board this last year. Amen. He's still having problems with that phone. But yeah. You can download our Wiley Methodist app through your app store. Just do a search for Wiley Methodist Abilene. You'll get a hit on that. I wanted to remind you of our all-church meeting that will follow this service. Would love for you to stay for that. If you have to leave and cannot attend that meeting, it will be recorded. We'll have that online sometime early this week, and we'll get a link out to everybody. Wanted to remind everybody about the prayer event that's taking place tonight at Bulldog Stadium down by Wiley High School. If you're not familiar with where that is, it's straight down Antony Road. You cross Buffalo Gap Road, and you'll see it. The focus tonight is to pray for rain. We've had some rain. Thank the Lord for that. And we're praying for more rain. So be sure to consider attending that event. Also on the 18th, next Sunday night at 6 p.m., we'll have a healing service in our sanctuary, focusing on praying for people who has physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs. And so if you're struggling in any way, please come. We'd love to pray for you. Also, we'll need some people here to pray for those who have come to be prayed for. So that's next Sunday night at 6 p.m. Also, the Aspire event is the 25th. Of September, and we've got a short promo video that we would like to present to you. So, Paige, whenever you're ready.
We are ready to hit the road for our one-night women's events filled with laughter, learning, stories, and music. So join us for our amazing team of Bible teachers, comedians, and musicians. On September 25th in Abilene, we have Bible teacher, author, and speaker Mary Shannon, comedian Sally Bauke, and music by me, Mia Kane.
Hi, I'm Mary Shannon Hoffpower, and I can't wait to see you at an Aspire Women's event. You will walk in the room, and I promise you, you will make new friends as you laugh your guts out listening to our amazing comedians. And our worship girls, they're literally going to lead you into the throne room. And I promise you, I will do my due diligence and I will bring the word of God to you. That's what I love about Aspire. We are committed to the word of God. So in other words, come to an Aspire because you're going to laugh your guts out. You are going to sing your hearts out and I'm going to preach my brains out. I'll see you soon.
Hi, I'm Sally Bauke, otherwise known as Funny Gal Sal, and I like to bring the funny to the Aspire Women's events. I love being with Aspire Women's events. It's a night of music and Bible teaching and comedy, and it's just a great time to get together with your friends and go have a laugh. And I encourage you to go if you never have been to one, because you won't regret it.
Aspire is here for you. It's here for you to be able to invite your friends, your family, your neighbors, your co-workers to hear biblical truth, to be renewed, to be refreshed, to be encouraged, and to laugh. I don't know about you, but I need it all. And maybe you do too. And maybe there's someone that you pass every day that desperately needs it too. So invite them, buy them a ticket, and bless someone unexpectedly with a fun and encouraging girls' night out. So mark your calendars and gather the gals. For more information on general admission and those extra fun VIP tickets, or if you're interested in group tickets, you can go to our website, AspireWomen'sEvents.com. That's AspireWomen'sEvents.com, and I'll see you there.
Ladies, that looks like a great opportunity to connect with others and connect with the Lord, so you can reference your insert. If you would like to purchase a ticket to that, you can do that through our app, and then those tickets will be available the week of the event. And also, don't forget our charge conference on the 27th, Tuesday night, the 27th. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Boy, it's good to recite that creed. Go ahead and be seated. Good to recite that creed every week. Kind of warms my heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. So, Father, as we recite the Apostles' Creed, it's the things that unite our hearts. Things that we agree on. Precious things. Precious things. And, Lord, as we move forward as a congregation, as we have our meeting this afternoon, Lord, and as we have our charge conference on the 27th, Lord, I pray for absolute unity for us. God, as we seek your heart for the future. Lord, I pray against what the enemy would try to do to bring this to a point where it's contentious, to bring this to a point where there's division. Lord, I speak against that in Jesus' name. And I pray for total, complete unity, whatever that decision is, as we move forward, God. Father, we just want to know your heart. We want to know your heart for this fellowship. We want to know your heart for Abilene, Texas. God, reveal that to us. God, I pray for this prayer event this afternoon. Lord, I pray that, if it would rain, that would be awesome. That's what we're there for, to pray for rain. And Father, we thank you for what you've provided for us, God. We pray for more. Lord, we pray for more, God. Open the floodgates of heaven, Lord. Pour down a natural blessing on the soil, God. Would you do that supernaturally as well? God, just open the floodgates of heaven. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your church. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling, who are needing healing in their bodies, Lord, healing in their minds, Lord. Emotional healing. Father, would you begin a work already as we plan on getting together next Sunday night to press in for those things? Would you start that work today? God, just do something supernatural in our midst, Lord. God, lift up the Aspire event. Father, I pray that this is a significant night for the ladies that attend. Lord, I pray that they walk away from that event knowing without a doubt they're loved by you, that they're chosen by you, that they're precious and they're special. Lord, quicken them spiritually. Strengthen them spiritually. Lord, and use the leadership team, God, to bring that about. I pray that that event honored you and glorified you. And Lord, just bless our charge conference, Father, as we come together in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're such a good God. And Father, you have a desire for your work in Abilene, Texas. You have niched out a part of that work for Wiley Methodist Church. And so, Lord, we don't want to miss that. We don't want to miss you. And so, Father, I pray that you quicken us spiritually. God, I pray that you give us this incredible holy boldness as we go throughout our day. God, give us wisdom. Lord, just through the power of the Holy Spirit, highlight someone that needs you. Draw us to that person. Point us to those people. Father, you've been so good and so kind. And we thank you for that. Use us for your glory. And God, as we continue to worship you, as we sit under our pastor's sermon, God, free us up to receive all you have for us this day. Open our spiritual ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would have to say to us through our pastor. And we just want to bless your heart and bless us so we can be a blessing to others. And we pray the prayer that Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you of giving opportunities. We have offering boxes by the doors. Also, you can give electronically. If you have a prayer request card or a guest card, you can also drop those in the offering boxes by the doors. God bless.
Cause
Good morning again. Is God good? Yeah. And do you feel His presence this morning? I certainly do. If you are our guest this morning, we're really glad you're here worshiping with us. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe and says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out and meet me at the end of the service down at this end of the sanctuary foyer, and I would love to meet you, and you can bring that registration card with you, and I have a free gift for you, our guests. As Billy said, there'll be a meeting for anyone that feels led to be here. We're right immediately after church. We'll finish church and let everyone kind of have a potty break, and then we'll come back in very quickly and have that meeting. So, turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And hold your finger there for just a second. I want to set this up. Now, This, as the name of the book describes, this is the disciple, the apostle Peter, that's writing this, and he's writing it to basically to the generic church, to people that have placed their faith in Christ, and he's addressing some very specific things that are going on that are concerning to him that he wants to set the record straight on, and we'll talk about that more in just a moment. But this is the same Peter that was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Jesus transform before his very eyes. He heard the voice from heaven. We're going to talk about that in the scripture. He's also the same Peter that when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "You're the Christ." So, and Jesus said, "On that I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And it's not, many people misinterpret that to think that Peter is the rock. No, the fact that Jesus is the Christ, that's the rock. And so Peter proclaimed that. He's also the same Peter when Jesus is going around to wash the disciples' feet, and he's telling the disciples that what's going to happen that last night. And Peter says, "Not me. Everybody else may fall away, but not me." And Jesus, we know, said, "Three times you will disown knowing me before the rooster crows." And he's also the Peter that saw Jesus crucified. He was scared to death. He saw Jesus crucified. He saw his lifeless body taken down from the cross, put in the tomb, and 3 days later, he's also the Peter that was having breakfast with the resurrected Lord. And the Lord restored him and said, "Peace be with you, Peter." That's the Peter that's writing this. And there's problems in the church, and he's addressing them. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Listen for the problems, the issues he's addressing. Peter says, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased.'" Peter says, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven, and we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all," Peter says, "you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Chapter 2. "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false prophets among you." I think I want to repeat that. "Just as there will be false teachers among you, they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you proclaim that where two or three are gathered together, that you will be there. We trust that. We believe that. Holy Spirit, would you speak? No one, including myself, needs or wants to hear from me. We need and want, desire to hear from you. We want to know your heart. We want to know your ways. We want to be your people. We want to walk in truth. Teach us, speak to us in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. 20 years ago this month, September, Wiley United Methodist Church split over some of the same issues that plague our denomination today. It was not an angry split. Nobody was upset with one another, and everyone theologically saw things very similarly. But nonetheless, there was two-thirds or more of our church that felt led to leave and start a non-denominational church. 20 years ago this month, my first sermon, I was appointed interim. I love that. I was appointed interim pastor and preached my first sermon on September the 22nd, 2002, to this right here from this pulpit. And here's, many of you were here and heard that sermon. I know most of you are going, I don't know what you talked about last week, preacher. But I bet you remember some of what I said that day, because it was a stark to go from a full sanctuary, and it's like my family and four others were basically our church. No, I'm just kidding. There were a few more than that. I felt the Lord strongly impress upon me this as I sought Him in this endeavor to try to lead this church that was hurting. And here's what I felt like the Lord impressed upon me. Focus on me. Jesus said, focus on me and my kingdom, and I'm going to bless you. And that's what I preached, basically, that first Sunday. And we have, and He has. I believe with all my heart, we have tried to be that kind of church that's focused on Him, and loving His people, and being about His kingdom, and God has abundantly blessed us. We were, you know, and it's not all about numbers, but numbers can indicate what God is doing sometimes. And I mean, we were, you know, a little under 100 or maybe 100 there early, and now we're generally breaking 400 with both services here recently. God has blessed us. I believe it's because we are walking with Him. For the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be preaching on Scripture dealing with conflict and schism. I'm telling you, I'd rather have my head sewn to the carpet than to talk about stuff like this. But I must speak God's truth. So I'm going to be dealing with Scriptures about conflict. What causes conflict in God's Word? How God's people should respond, and how they did respond many times, and how rejoice in God's faithfulness when the response was to follow Him. So the message today, the sermon series I'm starting for the next 3 weeks, will be A House Divided. A House Divided. Today's message is A House Divided Cannot Stand. Back at the end of the Civil War, what many people attribute that, especially people that don't know the Bible, attribute that saying, a house divided cannot stand, to Abraham Lincoln. Go ahead and throw that up there, Paige. And one of our great presidents, and he, at the end of the Civil War, there were many in the North that thought, we won, we're going to have it our way, and we'll punish the ones that lost. And there was this, there was people on both sides. There was hurt, there was grief, there was brokenness, and it was just a very volatile time. And that's when Abraham Lincoln stood up and said, no, if we're divided, we can't stand. And these were major issues that he was talking about. And so he said, we must unite, we must love one another, we must treat each other fairly and kindly. But guess what? Lincoln borrowed that from Jesus. He was just taking Jesus' words. In Matthew 12, Mark chapter 3, Luke chapter 11, Jesus repeats it over and over. When he's challenged, he says, a house divided cannot stand. Now, we're not talking about, there's a lot of things that we can disagree on. You might like our carpet and you might not. You know, that's cool. If you like it or don't like it, that's cool with me. Go ahead and just like it or don't like it. You may like the songs we sing, I like two of them, but I didn't like the rest of them. You know, we can talk about those things. We can disagree about some of those things. But the things that are separating us are not up for debate for me. We're going to talk about that. I have been a United Methodist all my life. I don't know how many was I. Did I go to church the first week, Mom? Yeah, probably. You know, nowadays, you know, I'm not trashing you young people, but nowadays, you take those kids home, you know, for like 2 years. It's like, I think we can take them out now. Man, when our girls were born on the way home from the hospital, we're stopping at every other street. Hey, look at our new baby. It's a different time. But I've been a United Methodist from the cradle my whole life. I've been a United Methodist pastor for 20 years. I worked long and hard to have a piece of paper in my office. But come January the 1st, I will no longer be a United Methodist nor a United Methodist pastor. I'm just telling you. I just don't know how else to say it except just be honest. Tell you where I'm at. I'll talk about not only in the sermon but in our meeting a little bit later about why I'm making that decision. But I believe that I am not leaving the United Methodist Church. The United Methodist Church has already left me. Now, our doctrine is, in my opinion, our doctrine is sound. It's good and it's sound. The problem is our leadership has let us down. We have unfaithful leaders in our denomination, and they have created chaos. So, Peter, you know, it's so amazing. It seems like this letter, as I read through this chapter of from 2 Peter, it seems like he wrote it yesterday. I mean, it's so pertinent to what's going on today, 2,000 years later. It's like it's almost like Peter was divinely inspired or something. So first, I want us to just see what is God's Word telling us about schism and what's worth fighting for and so forth. First point I want to make, we have been, church, entrusted with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been entrusted with that. And I've said this, I've preached on it many times. This is a precious gift. Lots of people died that you and I can have these in our hands and in our homes and on our cell phones. Yeah, man. Peter would be going, you got it. Where are you? It's on our phone, man. It's right here. He says, we did not follow cleverly invented stories. We didn't make this stuff up, Peter is saying. He said, we saw it happen. We saw him nailed to a cross. We saw them pierce the side of our Savior. We saw him taken down off the cross. We saw him placed in a tomb, his body prepared for burial. And then we saw the tomb was empty. And then we had breakfast with him 3 days later. We saw it. We didn't make this stuff up, Peter's saying. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now listen, verse 20. Above all, you must understand. Now, so remember, he's addressing a problem in the church with believers. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. He's talking about this. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. one of the issues facing our denomination is I'm telling you, if people tell you this is all about sexuality, human sexuality, people that are gay and whatnot, no, it's not. When we have bishops and seminary professors and pastors saying that you can ignore this, we got a problem, Houston. I don't know about you, I got a problem. I was shared this in the early service, but Lou McCleskey, some of y'all that's been around, Lou was an elderly lady, and she sat right here on the second row, right here in the front. And Lou would talk to me during sermons. I loved it. I'd be preaching, she'd be, "Well, preacher, what about this?" You know, I had 2 weeks' experience. Why not get, you know? But Lou, she was a feisty little gal. I loved Lou. And one Sunday, my first Sunday to go off to my seminary work, I told the church, this would be my last Sunday for several weeks. I'll be gone. And as Lou was leaving, she pulled me aside and she said, "Pastor, don't you get up there and let them ruin you." And I at the time, I was kind of going, "I'm going to seminary. I'm going to learn good stuff here." But then I got to seminary, and I realized what she was talking about. Because there are seminary professors saying, not so much. Yeah, just pick out the good stuff you like. Peter says, no, we didn't invent this stuff. We didn't make it up. We saw it happen. We're just writing down what we saw happen. Secondly, there will be false teachers trying to lead people astray. Holy moly. If that's not for us today, whew. Now listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. That's already happened. There were false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Some of them got collars on. Some of them have lofty positions. Some of them have lofty titles with a lot of letters behind their name. Some of them write books. There's going to be false teachers, Peter's saying. And here's what he says that will happen through the false teachers. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. It's happening. There are bishops, there are seminary professors, there are pastors that will tell you straight up, if you don't believe me, because the people that are staying United Methodist are trying to say that's not true. I'll show you the quotes. I'll show you the books. We'll open up their books. And if you're wondering if I'm telling you the truth, let's look. Let's explore it together. But they're saying Jesus was a great guy. And he was a great teacher. But there's lots of ways to heaven. He's just one. That's coming out of the church. And I'll tell you something. And I told our community group this Wednesday night. Jesus died for me. He changed my life. And when someone speaks that heresy, you want my blood to boil. It'll boil. Peter's saying they're gonna introduce these heresies, and they're gonna even deny the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. So, once again, we see it throughout Scripture. Jesus is the truth, but the opposite of that, we have an enemy who his native tongue is lies. I mean, they're in opposition to one another. And the key for us as Christians, as godly people, and we do this through this and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as we read this, is to differentiate what's true and what's a lie. Because they're both speaking into us. So it's our job to differentiate that. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute in their greed. And man, that's important too. We're seeing that. We could have separated amicably. We could have said, you know, we just disagree on some things. So let's let everybody follow their heart and let's release everyone to follow their heart and to follow the Lord and what they think should be happening. But no, in their greed, because there's a lot of stuff at stake here. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of buildings and real estate. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Now this, it's not my job, I'm not in the judgment business, that's the Lord's business, but God's word says their condemnation has long been hanging over them and their destruction has not been sleeping. Church, we have been entrusted with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be false teachers trying to lead us astray. First of all, common sense, if you just open your eyes and look around, you see that happening, but it's also God's word. Thirdly, the gospel is worth standing up for. The gospel is worth standing up for. Chapter 1, verse 19, Peter says, we have the word of the prophets. He's speaking of the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. We have the words of the prophets made more certain. What is he talking about? It's made more certain because the prophet said, there's a Messiah coming. And that all these details, he's going to, by his stripes, we're going to be healed. And he's going to redeem his people. And he's going to be our Savior. And they're prophesying this Messiah. And what Peter is saying is, we have the words of the prophets. And Jesus has proven it true. And here, I love this. This almost sounds like a threat. And you will do well to pay attention to it. That's not me. That's the Lord's word. It's like, we have the words of the prophets. Jesus proved them out. You need to pay attention. If something contradicts this, don't follow it. And God is worthy. The gospel is worthy for us to stand up. Finally, God will fight. Number four, God will fight our battles, and he always wins. I'm telling you, sometimes, you ever feel defeated? I mean, you ever just feel like, holy moly, I don't know where that came from, but I like that phrase. I've used it twice. Holy moly. Write it down. Make a t-shirt. Holy moly. How do you spell that? Does anybody know how to spell that? The Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. Okay, man. That is our world today, and unfortunately, in many cases, it is our church. Not our church, but the church. A phrase that I mentioned in the early service that came to me, it's a phrase that I've been hearing more and more lately, like, just be you. Is anybody, just be you? Anybody heard that besides me? And it's people, it's generally progressive thinking people that want to tell others that are, some people would say this is a sin or whatever, and they just be you. Well, let me tell you what Scripture says. Be Christ. Is this on? No, Jesus came and died so that we don't have to be you, so that we can be Christ. He wants to sanctify us, to redeem us and sanctify us, to make us into His image. And when our message is just be you, just embrace who you are, man, I don't know about anybody else. I got stuff to work on. For me, there's stuff that in my life that still needs some work. But so don't come to me and go, I know you like to, when you get mad, you like to throw pots and pans or whatever. Just be you. No, that's silly, but that's basically what has happened. It's like we got stuff in our life that the Lord wants to refine in us and make us more Christ-like. And that whole philosophy, that whole theology is flawed from the get-go. The Lord will fight our battle, and He always wins. We have been entrusted, church, with the good news of Jesus Christ. We must watch out for the people that are false teachers of God's Word. You know, I said this a few weeks ago in a sermon, but the enemy, our enemy, the devil, he knows God's Word. Did you know that? And guess what he does? He perverts it from the very beginning. Did God really say that? He didn't say that. And then even with Jesus, he's saying, hey, he's tempting him by quoting God's word to him. So we must watch out for false teachers. We must stand up for the truth of God's holy word, and we must remember that God always wins, so we should follow Him. I've seen it play out. We have a choice in our life. We can follow our own ways, or we can follow God's ways. And I've, in all honesty, I've tried it both ways. And I'm telling you, God's way is so much better. The richness of that, the joy of that. It doesn't mean we won't have trials in our life, but man, just to be walking with Him, just the pleasure of that and knowing that He is with you. There's nothing like it. Cheryl and I talk about that all the time as a couple. It's like, man, there's so many things Cheryl and I don't have in common. She likes to take walks, and I see walks as sweat. I mean, I view walks as just sweat. She likes to work in the garden. I like to eat the vegetables from the garden. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't have in common, but we have Christ in common. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. You'll just bow your heads with me. I invite the praise team to come up. Father, we confess to you that too many times we do go our own way. Too many times we place ourselves and our desires on the throne that is designated for you. Forgive us, O Lord. We really just want to be like you. We want to follow you with all our hearts. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for demonstrating your love for us on the cross, for proclaiming your victory through the empty tomb, for empowering us to walk out this life through your Holy Spirit. We don't want to be divided anymore. We want to be on a solid foundation, Jesus, of you. You are the Christ. We proclaim it. You are the Christ. You have changed us. You love us. You fight for us. May May we, as we navigate this season, may we do it well. May we do it with love, but yet truth. May we do it in a way that brings you glory and honor. May we walk this season out with integrity. Lord, we love you and we need you. We thank you that you love us first and best. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Please don't leave this place today without knowing Jesus. Man, he loves you so much. He's more important than anything else that we have in our lives. So if you will rise if you're able as we close. reminder, I'm going to give everyone just a few minute break here if you need to go to the restroom or anything like that, and then we'll meet back in here for our meeting. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, we have witnessed His majesty. We may not have been eyewitnesses, but we have witnessed it for what He has done for us. That is good news, church. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.